Steam, you're so old. How old are you, Sting? Catching up to Robert Redford.
It didn't take me long to fall in love with your mind.
What's up, Shaggy?
I don't want to even mention the way your body perfectly designed. So fine. And judging from your outlook on life, I knew this would be more than just one night. But now I'm ready for the next level, and you're telling me you need more time. No crime. Nothing wrong with waiting a little bit. You know this is more to me than just
intimate.
But you only get a love like this once in a lifetime. And if this is our chance, I ain't missing it. My whole life I never felt like this. Just wanna run with it, I don't wanna fight this. I ain't rushing you to make up your mind. Just wanna put some more quality in every time. Come on, girl.
You make me wait.
I really like this song. What's going on here? Where are they? Jamaica? Where's Shaggy from? It's like the top comment saying the same thing.
I don't want you to think I'm rushing you.
I just like to take my beats from the police and put them.
I'm already sold on the idea
of you and I.
Just tell me where I need to sign. Cause I've been searching for a while, and I know what works for me. Oh, all I need to know if this is what you want. Cause I'm already where I need to be. So don't make me wait.
Don't make me wait.
I like that song. It's a shame. Turning it down. Yeah, it is a good song. All right. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It is Tuesday, August 7th. It's 12:45 a.m. Of course, I just woke up like an hour or two ago. Because all you need is a couple hours of sleep after you drive like 20. I'm back in the DMV. They call it the DMV because it's D.C., Maryland, Virginia. And as soon as I got north of Richmond, I hit traffic coming up from Florida. Because nothing moves here. Anyway, it's a Ken Braverman podcast. As always, there's a million things going on. It's good to be awake and alive. All right. Hey, everybody. It is hot out. Coming from Florida, it's even more humid in Virginia than it was in Florida. Ugh, it's gross. Anyway, so it's hot and bothered in our nation's capital. Coming in hot. So it's a Monday morning. It's summertime. You know, I can remember many, many years ago. I wasn't going down this direction of the pod, but why not? Let's do that. Because politics is so boring anyway. thinking about many, many years ago. Okay. Many years ago, I was dating a girl in Montreal, Canada. And I lived in Vermont, and she used to tell me about how everybody in that town would go what was called on holiday. I believe it was holiday, or they called it a construction holiday was the term she used, I believe. And it just meant that like there's a 2-week period in August where everybody in town who did hard labor jobs would take off their job and go to the lake or go wherever. So we're approaching that 2-week period in August, I believe. You can feel it coming. So hopefully it will get nicer. Something made me think of that. But anyway, I ran into a teacher from 8th grade today in Starbucks, right near high school, right back home where I went to high school, and walked in, got a coffee, looked over. She looked pretty good. She looked like this about the same as 20. How old 8th grade is? We're talking 1992. That's like 25-6 years ago. Wow. All right. She looked pretty good. Pretty much the same almost. Even hair color. Amazing. Anyway, so I got a great picture with her. Said hello. I said, did you teach? I couldn't remember her name right away. And you know what? I would like to say something. I'd like to applaud somebody somebody else paying attention in a conversation, because it happened today. And normally nobody helps me out, but this woman helped me out and I want to thank her. I have no idea who she is. I walked up to the teacher from eighth grade that I recognized as I'm getting my coffee and having my croissant warmed. I look over and I see her face, and you know, you can remember being taught by a teacher when you're growing up, right? And so I'm like, that really looks like my eighth grade algebra teacher. And I like algebra. I use algebra all the time in Microsoft Excel. And so I'm looking over and I'm like, okay, so I get my coffee, and of course I have like permanent Tourette's. So I immediately walk over there, because I'm gonna start a conversation. And so I get over there and there's three women speaking, and I, you know, she makes eye contact with me because she can tell I'm looking at her. I'm sure this happens to her all the time. And I come over and I say, did you teach eighth grade algebra? And she goes, you must be one of my students. And I'm like, yeah, Ken Braverman. And she goes, oh, I had your sister. And I'm like, yeah, because there's just my sister's 7 years younger than me. So of course that was more recent, and she remembered the name and the face, and probably more intelligent, my sister as well. So we talked for a few minutes, and I got a picture, or I took, you know, came to take a picture and pulled out the phone. We got a great picture, and nice, awesome. And I'm like, I can't wait to go throw this on Facebook. I'm sure there's all those people from high school that are gonna love to see her after 25 years looking really good. And I go to the car and I go to grab it, and there's like no photo anywhere. And I'm like, huh? And I remembered when I grabbed the phone back from one of the other ladies, and let me get back to the point of thanking the other lady too, because the woman's name is Miss McKelfrish. Was the name of the teacher, and another woman that was sitting with us pulled this smart move. This is actually a move from a movie, when they're introducing a new character in a movie that you are watching, and they have one of the other characters say the first and the last name of the character they are talking to, when normally you would never do that in a conversation because it's somebody you know. Like, you never sit back and you're like, you're never having, you know, dinner on the Mission Impossible set saying, you know, Tom Cruise, what would you like for lunch today? If it's just you two sitting at the table, right? You never would say that. Well, it's just to do that, to get everyone to know the name of someone. Well, this other woman said, you know, all those other kids that come in here and say, boy, I had Miss McKelfrish as an algebra teacher too. She threw the name out because I couldn't remember her name. And even though that wasn't really apparent in the conversation, but I guess it was. So so that was awesome, and everything's great. I got this awesome picture, and as I get the phone back after the picture was taken, I guess I pulled the back arrow and discarded the photo instead of saving it with the check mark, because I'm an idiot and blind, and the picture's gone, which kind of pisses me off, because I think that it's not gone. Of course it was temporarily saved and then discarded, but it went into a deleted items data folder, right? Like, there was a picture taken somewhere. And I don't think that picture is totally gone from my phone. I'm going to do some research, because it's a good photo. I would love to find that. I'd love to use some eighth grade algebra to figure out where that photo still is on my phone, if it was taken at some point and then moved to a deleted area. Especially with all the junk on our phone. I want to find this. I want to dig up this piece of history now. Anyway. Okay, so I went and I posted on Facebook after I lost this photo that I apparently discarded. I'm like, hey, everybody, I ran into Mrs. M, and great. She looks awesome, and I ran into her at Starbucks, and people are like, ha-ha. They're like, hey, dumbass, why don't you take a photo next time? And then I relayed why I am a dumbass. Yada, yada, yada. Anyway, point is... that's better than talking about bad politics for 10 minutes, I think. It's a good story. It's good to run into people. It's good to see people looking good. Maybe eighth grade algebra is good for your health. Think about that, kids. Where else can we talk about? Let's talk about something else that's fun. And then we'll end on some minor politics. Let's talk about algorithms, sprabs, and baseball for a second here. As a matter of fact, let's look at some scores while we let's do it live. Let's do it right now. Let's do it live, because we're freaking hot. All right. So we are. Oh, no, the Phillies have been tied up in extra innings. Did Colorado win? Yes, they did. Houston came back to win, beat San Francisco. Wow, everything's awesome. Okay, let me talk a little bit about what's going on. So I've been working on a file to predict the winners of baseball games for the last little over a month. And I'm feeling very, very good about things recently. We're in day three of... If luck and good fortune and smarts all together were a big smoothie, we're on day three of a bender of nothing but those smoothies. We had a huge day on Saturday, a huge day on Sunday, and we are having a huge day today. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that even though Philadelphia apparently got tied up against from Arizona and it's 2-2 in the 10th, that the way our day is going, Philadelphia will probably win that game because they're the one that puts me over the top to have a much better winning day. Anyway, interesting. Well, we are one. I won't do the numbers on. We're definitely winning more games than we're losing today. 1, 2, 3, 4. Didn't bet that one. 4-1, 5-1, 5-2. We're 5-2 and there's 2 or 3 games left, something like that. So we're in great shape. And now it's fun. Now it's just fun. And what I want to talk about with this is so I spent this time developing this file about baseball and I have done one for football last year, and I'm going to be working on football now that baseball's not completely done, but we've reached a point with baseball where now I have something that uses a lot of information that's out there and helps you make, teaches you a little algorithm in there, a formula, a bunch of different formulas together, actually working together to give you a bunch of answers, work together to give you a simple yes or no on, you know, A or B. Do you take A or B? You have a decision here. Do you take A, B, or C, actually? A is, do you take Cincinnati today? B is, do you take the Mets, or who are they playing now? Yes, and he was playing the Mets. B is, do you take the Mets? And C is, do you not take either and stay away? And my file said take Cincinnati, and Cincinnati lost. So I lost. Now, am I a dumbass for taking Cincinnati? Is the file a dumbass for taking Cincinnati? The answer is no. Because the reason why I told you to take Cincinnati is because generally Cincinnati wins like 1 out of every 2 games in these type of situations, and their odds are better for you. If you won 1 out of every 2 games, you'd win money in the long run. So it's a long run play. And you play a lot of times with Cincinnati. And we actually had Cincinnati the other day, and they won. They actually won 7-1 over the Nationals in a weird game where they were like plus 174 or something. So there's so much going on in this file that it's now fun to wake up every day. I drove 20 hours or whatever, got very minimal sleep on the roadway, minimal sleep while I was driving, sleeping. And then when I got here, I had to update this baseball file for everybody because people that have been paying attention, I picked up more than you can put on your hands, number of subscribers over the last few days who've caught the videos about the baseball files and realized that I'm crushing it like a black cock. I'm just annihilating everything. It is disgusting. They're just like, what the hell's going on? They're like, does everybody know that he is just owning life in baseball? But once they pay attention, you're like, oh my God. People are just starting to message me like, dude, another unbelievable day, man. Like, keep it up. People just don't know what to do at this point. So we've hit day three of this. And I mean, of course it's not going to be this great every day. But the logic behind what it is doing is extremely sound. Which is, it's taking a look at every single player that's playing in the game. It's taking a look at how the team is playing. It's taking a look at who's pitching. It's taking a look at where they're playing. It's taking a look at, it's other stuff I haven't even built in yet. We're going to do left-handed, right-handed stuff. I'm getting input from everybody who watches games all day who's like, hey, Ken, I was looking at your file and I noticed that you're putting too much weight on a pitcher's win-loss percentage or a pitcher's wins and loss or a pitcher's ERA in the whole game scheme of things. Like, I noticed you're waiting like a third of the game on just the starting pitcher. Like, I've noticed in the past that the starting pitcher is not a really huge, you know, determinant of how the way the total game goes. Yes, it definitely has an impact, and certainly big pitchers that come in and go many innings and strike out a ton of people have a huge impact on the game. But not every game is like that, and you're applying the way, I didn't say all this, but this is what they meant, and this is what they were right. That if you put too much weight on the pitcher, you end up skewing a whole lot of other things in the game that need more weight on the game. Well, I adjusted that. They're also like, hey, you're also putting too much weight on their play in the last 10 days. Like, sometimes teams will have different schedules over the last 10 days, and they'll play weaker teams, and so you're skewing how good they look depending on their win-loss by weighting their recent win-losses too heavily. So I changed that up. Guess what? The regressive algorithm that was looked at and was being built in this file started to the plot line started to fit much nicer when I took the weights off of those things that I initially thought were going to be significant factors. And it turns out that listening to the advice of the community that's using the file and adding their own knowledge is building a file that is clearly consistently starting to do much, much better than average, as it should, right? Because if you think about the way that the lines get created or get generated and fluctuate, it has to do with what the public perception believes is going to happen in a certain outcome in a certain game. You have something, two huge teams like the Red Sox and the Yankees going up together. Your lines were pretty darn good in that series because both of those teams are strong and both have a base, and people will just bet on them just to root for them. You know, there's nothing wrong with throwing a little financial backing behind something you believe in. We all do it in like the stock market, or we do it in many ways in programs, groups we support, charities, all types of ways that we can offer our support. Betting, if you look at it in that way, and I don't know if I'm drawing an irrational conclusion here, but it's like being like, I want to throw $50 on the Mets today, even though I don't because they suck, but I'm a fan. Or like, I want to throw $50 on the Red Sox because they come back in the ninth inning down 3 runs. I had them last night. They come back. I'm driving through like North Carolina or something, South Carolina. I am in the middle of nowhere, and that game's going on for 5 hours. And I was like, this is awesome. I have nothing to do, and I have money on the Red Sox. I have like $25 on the Red Sox. Not a lot of money. Maybe $25 on the Red Sox. They're getting killed, and I'm like, oh, well, they are the Red Sox. I'm like, you never know. And then sure enough, on the ninth inning, they come back and they end up winning the game in the 10th. There's nothing better than driving through states that border the Atlantic Ocean while the Red Sox are eventually coming back and making you money. So I put my money behind the Red Sox. There's nothing wrong with that. I love that they invalidated the ban on sports betting. I don't care what state I'm driving through. It should be legal everywhere because there's nothing wrong with it. You shouldn't be betting your life savings and your college loans on it. No, of course not. And that you can regulate it super easily. Super easily. Regulating financial transactions, regulating money is the easiest thing ever. You can totally do it. We have banks everywhere. It's so super easy. Everything's digital. So there's no problem regulating it. So I think if we set up like maximums for people that they can wager in a certain time period, I heard they did this in like Missouri with the casinos there, which is you get like a card and you can't go and gamble more than a certain amount in a certain time period. I like ideas like that because if it's not supposed to be a problem, then let's try to prevent it from being a problem for people. Kind of the same way that you mitigate distributing medications to folks only in certain dosages and refills at certain times and hopefully restricting the flow of controlled substances. You should also do that with the betting because it's also going to be legal, or essentially is. Anyway, the conclusion of this with the baseball thing and everything is it's awesome to sit down and take the ideas of others and form, roll them into the algorithm. That's what we're all doing now in the world, is we're taking everyone's knowledge and we're rolling it into automated algorithms or like recorded process thought processes that result in outcomes. It's not just patents and inventions. We're not just inventing the wheel and saying we know how to invent the wheels. We are inventing the laws of how a wheel works, so we know the right types of wheels to build for every possible type of car. It's a different world now. Anyway, so I have another pod that I'm going to record in the future, and I want to end with this because it's super important. As I run for president in 2020, which I am doing, I am so doing it because nobody would be better. As I do that, I thought, what was my slogan going to be? And my slogan is going to be vote for me. All right, here's why. Vote for me. That's it. It's going to be vote for me. What that means is it's not just meaning vote for me. It means you're carrying around that slogan yourself. So vote for me means, you know, vote for you because you got to vote for me on your forehead. Well, me is you at that point, right? So the vote for me is this. I'm going to sprap everybody's views on everything so that I can instantly call it up at my fingertips and everyone gets a say on every issue. I'll explain all that in detail in a future podcast, but it's the coolest idea ever and it will work. So Ken's out for now.